Suncast is brought to you by SunGrow, providing clean power for all. Suncast is also brought to you by Trina Solar.
Anyone who can't install panels on their rooftop or doesn't want to install panels on their rooftop, which is the majority of folks in this country, can sign up for a portion of a shared solar garden. Credits from the power that's produced from your allocation gets applied to your utility bill, and you pay a discount. So you end up able to save anywhere between 10, 15, 20% on your electricity bill each year.
Hey there, Solar Warriors. I'm Nico Johnson, and this is Suncast. Each week, I pull back the veil on the life and business insights of clean tech entrepreneurs building the most noble and impactful companies of our time. I hope what you learn from this conversation is a catalyst for your own growth. So thanks for tuning in, and welcome to our tribe. Community Solar is once again in the top of everyone's mind. It is, as we've noted before, the fourth vertical. It's gathering speed and momentum. So many homeowners are both curious, interested, and a little wary of this concept of community solar. I'm joined by Sandhya Murali, co-founder and COO of Solstice, who is going to talk a little bit about what it takes to really integrate the community to the idea of solar coming to your a neighborhood near you. Sandhya, it's great to see you again.
Yeah, great. Thanks for having me here.
Sandhya, would you, for those who are unfamiliar with the concept of community solar, would you unpack that term for us?
Yeah, absolutely. So community solar lets anyone, so you don't have to be a homeowner. You can be a renter, small business, nonprofit, large commercial entity. Anyone who can't install panels on their rooftop or doesn't want to install panels on their rooftop, which is the majority of folks in this country, can sign up for a portion of a shared solar garden. Credits from the power that's produced from your allocation gets applied to your utility bill, and you pay a discount, pay a discounted rate for those credits. So you end up able to save anywhere between 10, 15, 20% on your electricity bill each year.
What are some of the educational topics that your community partnership team has to engage in as they go into a community to try and both let folks know that they can subscribe to a large solar farm and assuage their concerns about what it might represent for their community or not?
Yeah, so Solstice focuses on just that, customer acquisition and ongoing customer management of these projects. We work with the solar companies that are building the solar farms, and then we handle all those customer-facing activities. So our team is out there every day working to sign people up and overcome some of those barriers, as you mentioned. On the face of it, we tell people it doesn't cost anything to sign up. You magically get these solar credits on your utility bill, and you end up saving.
Too good to be true.
It's too good to be true, right? Sounds like a scam. What does this all mean?
Sure.
So there's a lot of education that we build into our enrollment process, kind of at various points in the customer's journey. Our community partnerships team builds relationships with local community groups, whether it's municipalities, nonprofits, environmental organizations. We are really invested in ensuring we're expanding access to community solar. So we also do a lot of work with low-income service organizations. And it all starts from a point of education, explaining what community solar is, what are the benefits to the local community. And we have a referral program where we can actually contribute wealth back into those communities. And so a town may look to raise money for a local project, you know, infrastructure improvement project, or a nonprofit may use it to raise money for a specific cause that they're working on. So we really like to start from the point of view of the community partner and then go from there.
Yeah. Where do you see solar projects in particular getting pushback or even rejection at the community level? What are some of the concerns that you have to hedge?
Yeah, I think the concept of NIMBYism, not in my backyard, that has plagued a lot of different clean energy industries, is still prevalent in solar. I think when the early stage development process doesn't really engage the community and kind of work with local leaders so they understand the benefits of this project coming to their town, then you can face a lot of that kind of please don't build this here sort of pushback. The other piece I'll mention is sometimes there may be environmental concerns around the construction of a project, especially when you're building on a brownfield, you know. And we had one project that was on a former Superfund site. That was the perception that people in the local community had of that area. And they thought, this clean energy solar farm developer is coming in and profiting off of
this. They're taking advantage of our resource.
They're taking advantage of it, right? And instead, but really, you know, this is years ago that it was this toxic site.
Right.
It's been remediated and now it's turning into a place to generate clean, renewable electricity that will, you know, enhance the resilience of their local grid. So that narrative was never really conveyed to the community. And so it took our team a long time to convey that message and launch a partnership with one of the local communities there to get their residents signed up for this project that was going to provide them meaningful savings on their utility bill.
Hey, if you're looking for a way to maximize the ROI for your next utility project, I would like to point you to Sungrow's new SG4400 modular inverter. This new innovative solution will reduce capital and operating expenses because it arrives already on a skid with a step-up transformer. It's built using four 1100 kW modules so that if one of them fails, well, the other three keep powering right on through as the DC and AC protection are completely separate between the modules. You can learn more about this fantastic new product and more at mysuncast.com/sungrow.
Many folks don't realize just how long the process is to develop a solar park. So where in the development cycle should solar developers that want to partner with Solstice be thinking about community engagement? And what resources exist for those developers to do so?
As early in the process as possible.
Site selection, is it that soon?
But potentially, I think once a site is identified and you kind of to go through the early phases of development, thinking about what that local engagement strategy will be is really important. We have supported projects in some of the earlier stages as they're applying into community solar programs that are run by the state and getting letters of support to help those applications. And so that means we have to go out to those community groups, explain what the project is, say we're applying to get approved, and, you know, would you lend your support to this project? So that engagement begins from those early stages. Generally, we will start working with a developer when a project kind of gets clearance for construction to move forward. We like to get started as soon as possible because, as you know, working with communities, getting that buy-in takes a long time.
Yeah.
It's very powerful, creates very sticky customers, low churn on those projects. And so we do like to get started as early as possible so we can build up those community partners.
I've been curious because I hear when a project gets to the point that it's ready to build, it might be 3 to 4 months from turning on at that point.
Or longer.
Let's say 6 months or less, typically. What's the enrollment cycle that you experience in, you know, going into community, raising awareness to getting subscriptions?
So we sort of track with that timeline. We will work to get the longest part of that process is kind of getting the yes, finding that champion within the town, within the nonprofit that says, yes, I want to run a campaign.
Okay. You're running campaigns that will, in partnership with a local organization, reach out to the community, reach out to the neighbors. Okay.
Exactly.
You're not canvassing with direct mail to...
We do that. We employ a bunch of different techniques. But our kind of community partnerships work starts with that partner.
Sure.
And then we'll layer in, we'll do digital marketing in that region. We'll drop, you know, direct mail, a few rounds of direct mail in that region. We may host an event virtual or in person, you know, an info session of sorts.
Sure.
We've even done videos with a mayor, you know, that gets put on the town's internet, you know, website.
Uh-huh.
I was going to say intranet, but it may get disseminated that way. So again, we can be pretty flexible and we try and figure out what are the best ways to reach those community members based on how they typically consume information.
Yeah.
But part of the education is also saying, we're signing you up now. We need as many people to sign up before this project can move forward.
Yeah.
And so that's going to take a few months. And so we make sure they know their credits aren't going to start flowing for, you know, 3 to 6 months or whatever that time frame is.
As we enter into a new era of grid parity, lowering LCOE cost on commercial solar projects has never been more critical. Recently, Trina Solar's TopCon 700-watt Vertex N module was awarded a bankability report by UL Solutions, proving exactly 5.8% reduction in LCOE compared to other N-type modules. Just one more reason Trina Solar is your trusted partner for total solar solutions. Visit mysuncast.com/Trina to see how a Trina Solar Vertex module can save you money today. Hey, pardon the interruption, but I wanted to just let you know how much of an impact you have on Suncast. Yeah, you. Thank you for clicking play. Without you, this show is just me shouting into the void. But there's still people who don't even know about Suncast. I know. I can hardly believe it myself. But that's where you can help me yet again. There's a simple way that you can show some love and help others discover the show. If you cruise over to www.ratethispodcast.com/suncast, I'd love it if you would leave a 5-star rating and enthusiastic review. That's possibly the single kindest thing that you could do for me today. So if the show has helped, inspired, or even entertained you at all, I'd love it if you would head over to ratethispodcast.com/suncast and give me a virtual 2 thumbs up. All right, back to today's episode.
One of the unique things that I love about community solar is that unlike having it on your house, it's not something that you're locked into. Can you talk about how you think about both the communication that it's kind of like buying a cell phone, you get to choose a provider versus having it on your home and also how you deal with the churn that can come with that.
Those are really important things, especially for the solar developers that are managing these projects, and they want to make sure projects stay fully subscribed and that, you know, we're collecting the subscription fees from those customers every month. We take a lot of pride in how we manage our projects. Again, it starts from how customers are acquired, the education they receive, so they know exactly what to expect when their project goes live. There's no surprises.
Yeah.
We really try and invest a lot of that time up front so customers don't feel like, you know, something's coming out of the blue once they start getting community solar credits on their bill. And then throughout the process, you know, we're really proud of our customer success team. We've got 4.9-star ratings on Google, and we consistently get really high quality reviews from customers. They take a lot of time and care. It takes time on our part, but they do spend a lot of time with customers to make sure they are solving their problem, obviously quickly and efficiently, but also in a way that they understand.
Yeah.
Most customers will have questions about their bill. How do I understand these bill credits? How do I understand the Solstice bill? And so they'll take the time to explain that to them. We also have a host of information available on our website that customers can sort of self-serve and find out that those answers themselves. So we do, you know, from these community partnership channels, from kind of our direct to consumer channels, we do see pretty low rates of churn.
Yeah.
Really proud of that. Because our goal is to make sure these projects stay fully subscribed.
Yeah. One of the things that community solar in particular offers to a community that residential solar doesn't is underserved communities' capacity to benefit from clean energy. We've heard a lot said around underserved communities and workforce development. What sort of data do you all integrate into your community partnership programs that helps municipalities understand the economic benefit that community solar offers to a region?
Yeah, we really try and work in partnership with our developers to understand the total economic impact that a project may be bringing in terms of tax revenue for the town, jobs created, long-term jobs created. And we are exploring, we're piloting a couple different types of partnerships with community organizations where we're focused on workforce development.
Yeah.
And we're trying to help build capacity in sort of a new area, right? Outreach for community solar projects.
Yeah.
The other piece, obviously, is the savings from the project, the discount rate that customers will realize. And so we make sure that we touch on all of those points as we're engaging with the community groups or the municipalities, so they really understand that.
Is there an average savings that you've seen across your portfolio?
Generally, our projects are in the 10 to 20% range. We have a couple projects out in Illinois that's under the low-income solar program in Illinois Solar for All, and their customers are getting 50% savings on their projects, which is really meaningful.
Yeah, that's fantastic. It really does make a difference. And as we know, most, especially families that are in underserved communities, families that are in economically distressed communities, energy is one of the not only critical needs, but it's one of the highest components of their monthly family expenditure. So to be able to reduce that burden on the family without them having to come out of pocket for a clean energy system in their home, it's like magic for a lot of these communities. I think that's what the Biden administration and a lot of organizations like NECEC and Solstice are really focused on helping the region understand, look, this, we're not trying to take advantage of the available farmland. We're not trying to convert that farmland into, you know, private equity funds. We're really trying to offer clean energy to everyone. Sandhya, it's great to get a chance to chat with you about
the work that Solstice is doing.
How can folks find out more about Solstice if they're in the area or if they want to partner with you? Maybe they're a developer that wants to send you some projects.
Absolutely. Please visit our website, solstice.us. We have a for developers section. And so we'd be happy to chat to any asset owners about helping, you know, all of your customer-facing activities for your community solar projects.